This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
Our theme for our 60th anniversary year is Amazed by God's Grace and Awed by God's Glory. We have two texts, Psalm 84, verse 11b reads, "The Lord will give grace and glory." 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7 tell us that God gives the knowledge of the glory of God. God gives the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we Christian believers who make up this particular local assembly, but we believers have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives in the lives of those who've been born again, we have this treasure in earthen vessels or clay pots. We have also noted John 1, verses 14 and 17, which declare that the first believers beheld our Lord's glory. The first believers in the early pages of the New Testament, the book of Acts, the first believers beheld our Lord's glory, which was full of grace and truth. Do you see the combination there? The early Christians beheld our Lord's glory, which was full of grace and truth. Having studied the biblical definition of grace, we are currently considering the biblical definition of God's glory. What is glory? Now, granted, there is a glory or honor that accrues or attaches itself to some human beings. I repeat, there is a glory or an honor that accrues to or attaches to some human beings. And the Apostle Paul tells us that there are other kinds of glory. There's more than one kind of glory. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:40, that there's the glory of the celestial. He's talking about the heavenly bodies, the planets. He says there's the glory of the celestial, the heavenly bodies or planets. He says there's also the glory of the terrestrial. That's the glory and the wonder of earthly entities. And the glory of roses and the glory of lilies and the glory of rivers and birds. There are many different kinds of glory. But the focus of this series is on the luminous manifestation of God's person. Not his person per se. Please understand that distinction. Glory is a manifestation of God's person, all right? The glory is a manifestation, an evidence of his person. Just like my poems, for good or ill, my poems are a manifestation of my heart. God's glory is in some sense separate from his person, because the glory is the manifestation of his person. He is a person, and his glory is the manifestation or the evidence of his person. When I see animal tracks in our backyard, I see evidence that an animal has been there. And recently, we've been having a fox. And so we can see manifestations or evidences of creatures and animals. So God's glory is the luminous manifestation of God's person. We're speaking of the reflective light and majestic glow that characterizes God's revelation of himself. When we talk about the glory of God, we're speaking of the reflective light and majestic glow that characterizes God's revelation of himself to man. We've seen that one of the Hebrew words that describes God's glory in the Old Testament is the word kabod, kabod, which means heaviness, heaviness, and weightiness. Kabod speaks of a heaviness or a weightiness that is worthy of reverence and respect. Reverence is virtually AWOL from North American Western culture. Reverence is almost gone. Is there anything sacred anymore? I have seen these Hollywood starlets recently on these clips of the news. I didn't know that women could speak such vulgarities. The profanity and the pornography. Virtually nothing is sacred in the United States anymore. And that, I am sad to say, includes God and his person and his glory. It seems like some public figures just try to outdo each other to see who can drag the glory of God through the mud the most. Profanities, blasphemous humor, which is not funny at all. God's glory is heavy. It's serious. It's weighty. It should engender a sense of decency and propriety. It should suggest some boundaries. It should suggest some perimeters and limitations. But today, most of the culture is without boundary. Today, most of the culture is without limitation. The watchword today is, if it feels good, do it. Let it all hang out. And that philosophy violates the glory of God. You and I are created in God's image, and we are responsible to cast a good reflection on his glory. To seriously consider God's overpowering effulgence for even a brief moment is to be in awe of him. I repeat, to seriously consider God's overpowering light, effulgence, for even a brief moment, is to be in awe of him. I speak as kindly as I know how, but If your personal devotional life, your time alone with God, is dull and dead and cold, what you need to do is spend a few more minutes waiting before God and thinking about how big He is. I don't see how you can spend 3 or 4 minutes thinking about the heaviness, the weightiness of God, without becoming intense about it. The reason we have so much casual Christianity, and I'm not talking so much about apparel, but just this notion, well, God's the man upstairs, and ha, 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 ha. The reason we have so much of that is because people don't stop to consider how heavy, how weighty God really is. If He made it all, and He did, you and I better not mess with Him. If He made it all, and He did, we better not take His name in vain. We better not think that going to church is just like going to the Super Bowl. Well, yes. The issue I make at the moment is not whether the Super Bowl should always be played on the Lord's Day. That's not the issue I address at the moment. The issue I address is that the worship of God is different than the Super Bowl. It's not just a bunch of hype and a lot of music and scantily clad women and half times and Gaga and Madonna or whoever. He's holy, 3 times holy, awesome, exalted. And until Western culture recaptures the sense of the awe of God, we'll continue this slide that's got thousands on the streets burning flags and hating each other. Republicans and Democrats and Green Party people could sit down and talk to each other civilly if they all feared the same God. The fear of the Lord would bring this thing called America back together again. And only the fear of the Lord will bring this thing called America or Western culture back together again. That's the common denominator that can make people get along in a nation, in a home, in a church. There are boundaries we won't cross because we respect God. And God needs to be glorified in our behavior. So we have these boundaries and perimeters, not only in our families, but in our states and our churches and our nations. This local fellowship has been in awe of God for 60 years. Oh, we've not always been as much in awe of God as we should. But when we've been walking softly before the Lord, we have, and we pray for the better part of 60 years, been in awe of the glory of God. That is to say, we have for all these years had a particular kind of emotion about God. Now, some of you get nervous. Some of you get nervous because you're so Baptist and so Calvinistic. You wouldn't say, "Praise the Lord, if He sent us $1 million to pay off the school." If God sent us $1 million to pay off the school, some of you would just say, "Well, that's nice. That's nice." Did New England win or did the Falcons win? Someone talked to me after the service last week, and I would not embarrass him at all, but he encouraged me. He encouraged me He said, I have always had the doctrine, speaking of himself, and this part is also very essential, very essential. I'm not minimizing doctrine. If you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I'm very committed to doctrine and the centrality of doctrine to the New Testament local church. I believe in doctrine, and if any would suggest I don't, then you're just simply being untruthful. I'm committed to doctrine, but this dear brother who has an affinity for the precious Jewish people and wants to see many of them come to trust Christ, and he knows the element of emotion in Judaism. He said to me last Sunday morning, Pastor, he said, I've always known glory. I've always known glory in its doctrinal aspect. I know the doctrine. I know the theology of the glory of God. But he said, you gave it an emotional dimension this morning. He said, I'd never seen that before. I had never seen the emotional element of the glory of God before. Now, you say, well, I'm getting concerned about our pastor. I guess our pastor's getting senile. Our pastor's beginning to sound like a Pentecostal. Oh, what about this? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. What about the song the children sang a few moments ago? Some of you wouldn't be so emotional over the stock market or sports if you were more emotional about God. But sports are your God, and the stock market is your God, so you have no emotion left for God. Somebody say, that's the vacuum that we have in this country. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and their foolish heart was darkened, and they began to worship all other kinds of idols. Little gods and little goddesses, and that's where we are at this point in the history of this country. The shelves in our homes are just lined with little gods. And by our example, we teach our children to have little gods. And spend a lot of money on the little gods, whether in the world of entertainment or sports. The emotion grows out of the doctrine. And if your doctrine doesn't cause you to say, oh my soul, bless thou Jehovah. Charles Weigel wrote that beautiful hymn. Oh, my soul. Bless thou God, Jehovah. Your doctrine doesn't get you into some practice of some kind of praise. Then there's something wrong with your doctrine. Do you know how many chapters there are in the book of Psalms? Have you watched the Jews lately? Thousands of them who do not even know the Messiah, the Savior, still have praise and joy to a degree. I looked it up in a dictionary. For 60 years, this local church has an experience with an emotion about God, variously combining dread or fear, veneration and wonder. There they are, the three elements of being awed by God. Dread or fear. Veneration, respect or reverence. can wander. I used to like to hear Al Smith sing, I have never lost the wonder of it all. I have never lost the wonder of it all since the day that Jesus saved me and a whole new life he gave me. I have never lost the wonder of it all. I have an old cassette recording of Al Smith singing, I have never lost the wonder of it all in the amphitorium of the Bob Jones University. Oh, it was wonderful. The acoustics there are tremendous. And he sang, I've never lost the wonder of it all. And so that emotion, which glories in the Lord, is a combination of dread or fear, veneration, reverence, and wonder. You think you deserve to go to heaven? My, aren't you the proud one? You think you're pretty hot stuff? My, aren't you in love with yourself? But oh, how wonderful that the God of forever loved us enough to come down in the person of his Son, the second person of the triune Godhead, to shed sinless blood, the blood of the God-man, to pay the atoning price, to purchase forgiveness of our sins. Oh, how wonderful that is. Perhaps it's just me. I don't get all excited about awesome cars. I like cars. I read car magazines to get sleepy on Sunday night when I'm trying to figure out whether or not you still like me and whether or not you're still going to put up with me. I read car magazines to get sleepy. I like cars, especially cars of the 50s. Especially 1956 and 1957 Thunderbirds, if you please. But a 1956 Thunderbird is not awesome. It has beautiful design. Its lines are nice. The little porthole window appeals to my aesthetics. But that bird isn't awesome. God is in a category all by himself. God is awesome. So I went to a car show with a dear friend I met going on door-to-door visitation. He is Catholic, but he still comes to see me, stops in here. He said, I want you to come with me to a car show. And I think it was a 57 Thunderbird. I looked at it and took pictures of it. And I'll tell you what, I look at the pictures once in a while. But it's not at all in the same realm as spending even 15 minutes in the book of Psalms. Just get into the Bible and let the word thrill you. Let it stir you. The hymn says, my heart is stirred. Whene'er I think of Jesus, that blessed name that sets the captive free, the only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. We're not in the Word enough. The world is too much with us. The magazines, the newspapers, the TV channels, the world is too much with us, and the word not enough. So no wonder we're losing our wonder. Now these emotional elements wrapped up in the term glory, according to the dictionary. I'm just quoting the dictionary. These emotional elements wrapped up in the word glory, according to the dictionary, are inspired by God's authority, the emotions that are wrapped up in the glory of God are inspired by his authority. Oh my. Thou shalt. Thou shalt not. There's a glory to God's law. If you don't think there's a glory to God's law, you just go out and shoot someone. And you'll find out even in America, there's a glory in the law. Thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. There's a glory in God's law. And this nation is just going down the tubes because we've forgotten the glory of God's law. And his law is based on his authority. You get these punks who want to do punk rock all the time. Am I allowed to call it that they're punks if they do punk rock? You say you're a bigot. Well, that's part of their name. Can I call them by name? These punks that want to do their punk rock and then the rap with the filthy words. It demeans women. And people pay millions. And the teenagers of America are being reared on it. Garbage in, garbage out. Immorality in, immorality out. The glory of God is based on his authority. And the glory of God stems from or emanates from his person. I'm going to have to finish. I'm just getting started. At the conclusion of the previous message, I observed that A.W. Tozer and J.D. Drysdale referred to the awesome wonder which the church has for her God. These two writers talked about the awesome, awesome wonder that the church has for her God. And they called it the oh of the church, where the church is impressed by her God, and the church is impressed by her Christ, and the sacrifice which Jesus did to forgive our sins. This oh of the church is the mouth-gaping marveling that is due the one who created Niagara Falls. This awesome wonder is the mouth-gaping marveling that is due the one who created Niagara Falls, the seven wonders of the world, the constellations, and the universe. Does your mouth ever just hang open a bit when you think about God? Now your mouth gapes open about other things. Look at Niagara Falls. Look at Victoria Falls. Look at the pyramid. I've been there. Look at the pyramid. What about? Look at God. Mouth open slightly to a gape because of the awesome wonder of God. there's the law of diminishing returns. And entertainment in this nation has shown so much to our culture, starting now from when children are 8. They've shown so much way, way, way too early. There's nothing left anymore. It's the law of diminishing returns. The law of diminishing returns. Nobody, I generalize, nobody is awed by anything anymore. Overexposure. Improper exposure. A trivial treatment. Trivialization of things sacred. And decadence. Oh, this emotional response, the glory of God, is based on his authority, and it stems from or emanates from his person. Now, as we close, we're going to turn to a psalm. We're going to turn, please, to a psalm, Psalm 96, and we'll read together in a moment. Before we read, I will build a bridge. We're turning, please, to Psalm 96. We were so pleased to have our missionaries, Paul and Amber Tabby, from Nepal with us last Sunday. And if you missed hearing Brother Tabby, if you missed hearing missionary to Nepal, Brother Paul Tabby, you missed it. We admire the Tabbies for their sacrificial service as missionaries. Watch it. Missions. Worldwide evangelization is taking the message of the of God to people who've never heard. That's what missions is. It's taking the message of the of God to people who've never heard. It's telling the people in Nepal that there is a glorious God. And he came and died to forgive their sins. Missions. Worldwide evangelization. It's taking the message of the of God to people who've never heard. And are bowing down before pieces of wood. And bowing down before pieces of stone. They don't worship the true glory. Most everyone's going to worship something. So not knowing about the true glory, stones and carved idols, all they have. Now this passage that we're going to read in Psalm 96 speaks about those who don't know God, heathen, pagans, and it uses this term kabod, heaviness, awesomeness, weightiness. It uses this term. And by the way, it also includes the verse that is the theme for our missions conference in a few weeks. There's a beautiful picture in the bulletin. This is the psalm that gives us the theme for our missions conference in a few weeks. Now let's go ahead and stand. We're going to read responsively as we close. Psalm 96, verses 3 through 10. Now watch. Watch for the references to the kabod, the glory, the heaviness, the weightiness of God. Watch for this term. I'm starting in 3, and then will you please read 4. Psalm 96, 3. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people.
The Lord is great and great to be praised. He is to be feared of all gods.
For all the gods, small g, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Bring an offering and come into his
courts. Now let's read verses 9 and 10 in unison, please. 9 and 10 in unison. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously.
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.